The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is the end of Monday, October 18th, which means if you're listening, it's probably Tuesday, October 19th. It's also the end of Week 6 as it's come to a close with the Titans, Tennessee Titans, the Fighting Mike Vrabels, taking down the Buffalo Bills. 34-31 in Nashville. We go to John Breach live on this. John Breach is in the basement. Never mind. What's up, Breach? Ryan Wilson at Breach here. How are we doing?
Yeah, Breach, how was your Titans coverage from 10 miles outside the stadium?
She got Jordan Ajani on instead of Breach.
Well, if I didn't have to be on this podcast, yeah! I could have.
Couldn't hear you
on the podcast. I could have gone to the game.
Nobody believes that.
Here you guys are demanding my time.
By the way, anyway. Brinson, this is the same guy that traveled 45 minutes ago, hear T.O.'s Hall of Fame speech at a destination that wasn't Canton, Ohio, but he can't go to the stadium to watch arguably the biggest game in the Titans season. Okay.
I will say it would be kind of a pain to like drive down there because you're 30 minutes away, right?
No, Mike. I don't know how far I am.
Interesting.
What do you mean you don't know how far you are from the city?
He doesn't want to give out.
We have a CBS sports person there. Why would we have two? We sent someone. You don't need to double up.
There's a guy who loves his job.
I guess you would have to sit in a press box with a mask on for like 4 hours. That doesn't really sound appealing, to be honest.
I go to Syracuse football games because that's my job, Breach. I love my job. So I go there. So
you like sitting in the carrier dome for 4 hours watching.
Well, and I love talking to you guys. So that's why I'm here and not at the game.
Different strokes. All right. What happened in this game?
Okay. So huge win for massive win for the Titans. They are now 4-2. Also 4-2, the Buffalo Bills. This is the second year in a row that the Titans have beaten the Bills in a primetime game. It feels like 45 billion years ago. But last year, in 2020, the 2020 season, the Bills actually lost to the Titans on a Tuesday. I believe the first ever Tuesday game. Anyway, or maybe it wasn't the first ever Tuesday game, but you get the point. This was a fascinating and fun game. And by the way, if you're watching right now on YouTube, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. If you're someone who's watching us live on YouTube, bang that like button. I got Debo telling me when people don't do it. We're going to have a Super Friends mailbag, by the way. So you can, we'll get to that in a second. But you can also turn on the alerts in YouTube. There's a little bell. So after you hit the subscribe, hit the bell, and you'll get alerts when we go live. I haven't actually gotten mine, I don't think. I have mine turned on.
Hit the bell notification.
I have the bell notification on. We are live on Sunday, Monday, and Thursday nights. And we also are going to go try to go live for our best bets show at 1 p.m. on Thursday. Be glad we didn't go live this past week. We were terrible. But the reason why we can't go live right now is because Pete Prisco is a old corncob husk who can't figure out technology and refuses to adapt to the modern ways.
Interesting.
Yes.
He doesn't have the internet. That's the problem. He literally writes his best bets on a piece of mail, sends it to Brinson via USPS, and then Brinson reads it out in his Prisco voice on the podcast.
He is awkwardly obsessed with the best bets. Like, I think I went over this week, and he let me know.
Yeah, you're having a tough go over this season.
I mean, I will say, Brinson,
the last 3 weeks have been very bad for me.
Very bad. Like Jacksonville Jaguars bad.
I don't even want to read his against the spread record on the air.
We'll turn it around.
I mean,
every single favorite won this week. This is supposed to be the dog week, except of course the Titans, who I had the Bills naturally. This is the one dog that won. All of these favorites pulled off these, like this road chalk won. I thought it was going to be Wilson's demise. It turns out it was actually my demise because I took all the dogs. Didn't work out for me. We're going to be doing if you want to ask about my terrible picks or ask about Wilson's plus EV methodology for determining who he picks against the spread, we are going to be doing a mailbag, which means go to Apple Podcast and leave us a 5-star review with a question attached, and we will answer your question. It can be about anything football related, trade deadline, in season, contender, pretender, whatever you want. Hair plugs, Breach's weird fascination with a team from Cincinnati.
And cats.
Giveaways. Oh. Well, we're going to do it again tonight? What? I didn't realize this. We are going to give away another Brinson Sucks hat.
We have more?
Debo has one. He's going to give away. That reminds me. I got to get mine.
Keep mine. Are we giving that away?
So if you're watching on YouTube right now, you can. Oh, we're not giving yours away. This hat. There's like 5 of these available anywhere. If we get to 100 likes on this video, Debo will send his. I got to tell you, if Debo's sending a Brinson Sucks hat to somebody that he owns, means he wants it to happen, because Debo probably has that pinned up on his wall. Since he does, in fact, hate me and despise me. But 100 likes, we will give away and hit a like. And in the comments in the YouTube video, hit or write your Twitter handle or some contact form, and we will get you a Brinson Sucks hat. As I said, 34-31, Titans over the Bills. This game was crazy because there were 3 points scored in the first quarter. With a massive total of 53, obviously the over hit. They scored 52 points in the second and third quarters. The second quarter was bananas.
Did they over hit?
B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
Bananas.
Derrick Henry finished the game. He's on a heater right now. 20 carries, 143 yards, 3 rushing touchdowns. Josh Allen, very good in this game as well. 35 for 47. 353, 3 touchdowns and a pick. Stephon Diggs kind of had the breakout game that we're looking for. 9 catches, 89 yards and a touchdown, but not really. Looking for an explosion game from him. More distribution from Allen in this game than anything else. Emmanuel Sanders, 5 catches, 91 yards. And Cole Beasley, 7 catches, 88 yards and a touchdown as well. AJ Brown came back from his food poisoning thing. It was really quiet for almost the whole first half and then picked up steam. Not 7 catches, 91 yards, did not score. Ryan Tannehill did not have a passing touchdown. Julio Jones suffered an injury in this game and didn't return. 3 catches for 59 yards before he left, including a crazy off the defender's helmet diving two-handed grab by Julio. What did we think about the end of game stuff? Because the Titans scored. The Bills scored a touchdown and got a 2-point conversion on a Dawson Knox pass to Josh Allen with 31 seconds left in the third quarter. The Titans got a fat Randy field goal with 9:49 left in the fourth quarter to cut it to 31-27. And then we're getting down close, and there's definitely some people wondering if Mike Vrabel was going to kick a field goal to cut it to 1. Didn't matter because Derrick Henry busted through for a 13-yard touchdown, his third, obviously, to make it 34-31.
Mike Vrabel wouldn't have kicked a field goal there.
I would like to think not, but
that's not his MO, I don't think.
I don't think so either.
Okay.
Nick Costas hates him for some reason. I don't really get it. 34-31 at that point, the Bills get the ball with.
No, they return the kick.
Oh, that's right. Isaiah McKenzie returns the kick, but there's a whole
101 call. Yards for a touchdown, but it gets called back.
I feel like it was definitely going to be a holding call, even if it was not necessarily fair.
What do you mean? What does that mean?
Well, I mean, it's like it probably didn't maybe affect the play quite as much as
it was like borderline ticky tack. It was near McKenzie as he ran by him. I don't know if that guy was going to make the tackle.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know if it affected the actual return, but when you saw it happen, you knew they were going to throw the flag.
Yeah, that's right.
Waiting for Breach to dive in on special teams, obviously.
Well, I mean, they threw the flag, and the turn, you don't just lose the touchdown. It's that now you are starting this drive from inside your own 20-yard line. You know, a touchback because he caught it 1 yard deep in his end zone. You start at your own 25. And now you're at your own 18, so you've got the deck stacked against you. But it really was crazy to see the Titans special teams collapse like that, but then it didn't matter because of this ticky-tack holding call.
Yeah, so it gets called back. Josh Allen goes 8 plays, 79 yards down to the Tennessee 3. He scrambles on third down, and I'm not actually sure how the distance was on third down.
It's third and six.
Thank you, Breach. Third and six, you're right. He kind of gets suplexed as he's going for the first down. But
Superman dives for it, sort of gets hit underneath and turns. I will say this. I've never seen this camera angle before. I like the red line coming up from the yard marker so I could see where's that been all our life? And the refs actually got it right on the field. It was a half yard short. They got it right. They noted during the telecast that Cole Beasley was open in the end zone. But, you know, Josh Allen had his mindset on going for it, and I understand it.
And then on fourth and 6 inches, really. It was really close. Allen lines up, and he's quarterback sneaking. Jeffrey Simmons, I'm watching it right now, actually, on the replay, but Jeffrey Simmons gets great penetration, but more importantly, Allen slips and goes down and is short.
Mm-hmm.
I was fine with the Bills going there.
Yeah. I mean, what's the probability Josh Allen converts a fourth and 6 inches? It's 95%.
I mean, he slipped on the turf. Like, his left foot slips and he just falls down. He doesn't get there.
Are you going for a breach or not? You have that look on your face.
I mean, I don't think it's 95%. He literally failed on fourth or on a 1 yard play earlier in the game when he was trying to score a touchdown from the 1 yard line. So, all
right. So what are you doing there?
He should have run it to the
right. I'm just saying he had already failed once in that situation. So this isn't Tom Brady QB sneak, which is like automatic. This is Josh Allen, who apparently didn't. Yeah, Tom Brady QB sneaks are automatic. I don't know what that's 95%. Well, on
fourth and goal, maybe. What are you talking about, Josh Allen? You would have. Go ahead. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm talking about when Tom Brady needs a yard, he can get it. And we saw Josh Allen.
You need a yard. You're taking Tom Brady over Josh Allen. That's criminal.
A Brady QB sneak. If I need a guy to QB sneak it, I'm taking Tom Brady, who never fails at this ever.
Anyway, are you kicking it there or not? Because
I am not kicking there. I do think they made the right call. Like, I love the field goals. I would love to have seen that game go to overtime because it was so crazy. And I'm not sure that the city of Nashville would still be standing if the game had gone to overtime because all these Bills fans were drinking in Nashville all day. The stadium was crazy. The fans were loud. It sounded like it was half Bills fans, half Titans fans. It was the right call. Because if you go to overtime, maybe you have a coin toss, or you do have a coin toss.
Yeah, you absolutely have a coin toss.
Maybe the Titans win that coin toss. And you know what? The Titans had basically moved the ball at will and scored on 7 of 8 possessions starting in the second quarter. So the Bills defense had done nothing to stop Tennessee. And so if you lose that coin toss, you're basically throwing the game away. Right. And Josh Allen getting 6 inches is your best chance.
Let me read our buddy Pete Prisco, who tweeted this, not surprisingly, after the game. The end of the game was a bastardization of clock management by both teams. Even if the Bills get the first down on the sneak, they have to use their last timeout. Then what? ? So I think the question, like the last 2 minutes coming down the field when the Bill started the 18 and the Titans weren't using their timeouts. And I was actually sort of okay with that because the Bills had to score a touchdown to win that game. And, you know, the Bills weren't going to call a timeout because they wanted to run the clock down. I don't have any issue with the way the time management was over the last 2 minutes.
So I was listening to Josh Allen talk. First of all, Breach, yes, there's literally a coin flip in overtime.
That was like 5 minutes ago. Wilson already made a joke.
Karen Milky asked in the YouTube chat, who is most often correct, Breach, Brinson, or Wilson? I think my guess would be ask. I'm not turning out. I'm watching Josh Allen talking to the – I'm watching Josh Allen talk to the reporters about that.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you. No, Barrett. Thank you.
I would say ask – whoever you ask is probably thinks they're right the most.
I will say this. I guarantee you Yes, everyone thinks Brinson's last. That's the takeaway.
Savages.
The thing is, Breach is right about a lot of things, but then he has some crazy off the wall sort of theory that in people's minds makes him, you know, no worse than second, but not always first. Brinson, without question, is always last.
But Breach is wrong, but he somehow disguises his incorrect answers and his like incredible lies in these ways that make you believe that they might.
So anyway, while you're watching the Josh Allen presser, does anyone have any response to Prisco thinking clock management was an issue the last 2 minutes for either team?
I thought Vrabel should have been calling his timeout sooner. And Steve Levy.
What about the idea of him just saying, well, let's make the Bills have to score a touchdown?
Yeah, I don't like that. Your defense is awful.
But they bit but didn't break. They had a ton of injuries in the secondary.
I don't like coming back after it and saying, well, he did a dumb thing, but they got us. Josh Allen slipped on fourth and short. And so results over process.
I don't know if it was dumb. In the moment, I was like, I don't hate it. I know why you might call timeouts here, but I was like, all right, let's see how this goes.
It's very similar to the Super Bowl 49 where, you know, Belichick's not stopping the clock, and people are like, what? Like anybody, I don't know, anybody else, it's, you know, we're getting ripped for it, but Belichick is like, well, he's just trying to put the pressure on Pete Carroll.
Well, and the problem with, I thought Vrabel should have used a timeout, not even because of the time, but because his defense, they were on their heels. So you can say that Vrabel's trying to make the Bills think on their feet, but they clearly were thinking on their feet just perfectly because they drove 79 yards down the field in like 60 seconds.
They went 31 yards, 12 yards, 2 minute warning, 7 yards, 20 yards. Their guy's running wide open. This defense is really confused. And at that point, I want to add, if you're Tennessee and you've been moving the ball as effectively as you have in the second half, I want to add time to the clock. So that way, if the Bills score, whether it's a field goal or a touchdown, I have the opportunity to go back and score myself. And if you call those timeouts, it's probably more than likely that I think the Bills would have been a little more methodical in their approach in terms of running the football instead of, and then I didn't love what Sean McDermott did down in the red zone.
What did he
do? They get 50 seconds left. They run Zach Moss up the middle. He gets 4 yards from the Tennessee 12. So he's at the 8. Buffalo calls a timeout. Incomplete pass from Josh Allen. And then the 3rd and 6 happens. And then Buffalo uses another timeout there. Tennessee also called a timeout. I would have, and then they tried the 4th down play. I would have preferred, if you're Buffalo, like I would have wanted the Bills to get down to the goal line with the plan in place that if it is 4th down, we're going to go, but we have 3 timeouts so we can stop the clock if we don't get it.
I'm fine. I mean, they still had 1 timeout after that. If they had gotten the 4th down, they would have had 1 timeout left.
No, but I mean, if you don't get the 4th down, I think that's only you could potentially get the ball back.
Right. With 12 seconds left or whatever in midfield. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I mean, I guess, but you're not angry about it. You're just like, in a perfect world, you want that to happen.
Yeah. And the same thing with Vrabel, I think, should have been calling the time. I mean, I get that it worked out for him, but Vrabel should have been calling those timeouts to save time for his team.
I do, on some level, like the idea, because maybe, and look, I don't know. I'm sure the math says call the timeouts there, but there is some nuance to it when, depending on what's happening. Like, okay, from yard 18 to yard plus 15, the Bills dominated. Maybe Vrabel thought, okay, once we get into the tight area, I don't want them to go to the sidelines, have Dable just tell Josh Allen to do whatever he does, and then go from there. And so I was like, okay, as a neutral party, I was like, okay, let's see how this plays out. If I were the Steelers, for example, I would say, please call your freaking timeouts. But Mike Tomlin would have kicked if he were the Bills from 4th and 1 anyway, so it wouldn't have mattered.
and I mean, again, like, you know, the other thing he did too was because they had the ball with about 3 minutes left, and they were doing no huddle, and they were running from shotgun and slinging the ball. So I agree. There's some nuance to it. It did feel like if you're Vrabel and your team's getting carved up for like an average of 15 yards per play, maybe squeeze a timeout, say, hey guys, this is what they're looking for. Someone's like spy Josh Allen, these guys coming across the middle, I don't know, something like that. It just felt like a little too passive.
I do think that, and we won't know unless somebody asks Vrabel this after the game, but if this was,
do you know anyone who should have been there at the game that could ask him the question in the post-game press conference?
Up high, down hard.
Those are done by Zoom, and you can actually do them from home. Redunk.
Oh, he missed! He missed! Oh, he may have pulled a hamstring. Or...
Ironically, that was Fat Randy Bullock who kicked pretty well. Today.
All right, what's the question for the coach?
No. So here is. I think Vrabel probably calls a timeout if the score had been 34-30. And you know that if the Bills score a touchdown, you're going to need a field goal. Because I think he just felt like, hey, if we're going to get the ball with 20 seconds left, even if I use all my timeouts, we're probably not getting a touchdown. And we're going to overtime anyway. And I don't need to get someone out injured trying to throw a 70-yard Hail Mary that we're not going to complete. You know, even though some might say, well, Hail Mary has a 1% chance. It can also be picked off and returned for a touchdown. And so I think he's thinking we're going to need a touchdown. It's probably not happening. Let's just keep their offense on their toes.
Or, I mean, this is what I would be arguing if I were Vrabel in this situation and trying to reach my way out of this clock mismanagement. I would say that my game theory was I'm not calling timeouts. I'm going to let Sean McDermott call timeouts. And I want him to get in a situation where he has to decide, is he going to kick a field goal or not? You know what I'm saying? Like, because there was like, there, right. But I mean, there was so little time left by the time they got down. Cause the Bills were actively trying to melt clock. So that way the Titans couldn't come back. Man,
that theory doesn't make sense. Cause Vrabel did use his timeout right before the fourth down and literally gave McDermott a chance to decide what he wanted to do.
But they did that after they saw what the offense was doing.
Well, right, but when you call the timeout,
the formation they were lined up.
You give McDermott a chance to think about what they're going to do. Like, he could have said, you know what, let's kick the field goal. You know what, let's change the play because we saw their
the offense was out there. So if he was hoping they would kick a field goal, then
right. But I'm saying by Vrabel calling the timeout, he literally did the opposite of what you said. He gave McDermott and the Bills time to figure out what they're going to do.
What are you talking about?
That you were saying. No, I'm saying that
he wanted the clock to run down as much as possible. I'm not saying this. I agree with this. I'm saying this is what the game theory I would have argued is. I want the clock to run down as much as possible, so the Bills know that this play is going to decide the game. That they can either, you know, you're giving them a choice. Like, you can kick a field goal or go for it. And if you think they're going for it and running, I mean, I didn't love the play call. I didn't love the play call with the sneak to the left side with Simmons lined up there. I actually need to go back and look and see, was Simmons lined up on the, was he lined up on that side originally?
Yeah. It feels like pre-snap. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say before the timeout by Vrabel, like, did they adjust anything from the pre timeout to the post timeout? And you know what? Josh Allen probably gets it if he doesn't slip.
Maybe. I mean, I'm quite comfortable with Josh Allen going for it every time in that situation.
Sure.
Even over Tom Brady.
I would have bootleg.
Wrong.
I would have bootleg Brady things. Erroneous.
I would have
bootlegged him out and had him waltz into the end zone.
Someone who had a much better running night, Derrick Henry. Third time this year he's had 3 touchdowns in a game.
That's crazy. His last. So coming into this game, over his last 4 games, he had 3 touchdown rushes. He also had 582 yards on 125 carries coming into this game. That was on pace for 500 carries and 2,328 rushing yards over his last 4 games. He didn't really have a good first game. He is putting up enormous, enormous numbers. Is it sustainable? Can the Titans make a playoff run? We'll tell you after the break. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by big wireless providers, if we learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when I first heard that Mint Mobile offers premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month, I thought, what is the catch? But after talking with them and using their service, it all made sense. There isn't a catch. Somehow, there's not one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they're the first company to sell wireless service online only. By cutting out retail stores, there's no crazy overhead costs that get passed down to you in the form of mystery fees. Instead, Mint just passes on those sweet savings directly to you. And we all know, if you got a phone bill, and, you know, we're all married. We got people. It's not just one phone bill. Your wife's got a phone bill too. Ryan's got kids got phone bills these days because they're old enough for them. So why not save some cash? And that's why Mint Mobile's so great for people looking for extra savings. Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for just $15 a month All plans come with unlimited talk and text plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and keep your same phone number along with your contacts. And if you're not 100% satisfied, Mint Mobile has you covered with their 7-day money-back guarantee. Switch to Mint Mobile and get premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month. If you want that $15 a month deal and get the plan shipped to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/picksix, PICKSIX. That's mintmobile.com/picksix. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/picksix. I got nothing. The Tennessee Titans.
Hey, let me follow up quickly on Derrick Henry. We were talking about that before the break. Yeah. So there was a point in the game, I think it was in the first half, where he stiff-armed Mario Addison into the turf. 253-pound Mario Addison. I think it was like a 3-yard loss or something.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
And to Mario Addison's credit, he just stood up and walked back to the huddle. Like he wasn't going to celebrate with the rest of his teammates on the 3-yard tackle for loss for Derrick Henry. But the biggest loser of this game, Josh Norman, sitting at home, minding his own business, and they showed the replay of him getting stiff-armed to oblivion at least 15 times right after that play. And I'm sure Josh, yeah, it was tough. It was tough. But again, Derrick Henry is a problem.
Yeah, he's a huge problem. He could potentially lead the league in rushing 3 consecutive years in rushing yards and rushing touchdowns. He's just a monster.
And he's like reversed physical conditioning compared to everyone else on the field. Everyone else gets more tired as the game wears on and gets to the fourth quarter. It's like Derrick Henry is harnessing all of their energy and then using it to stiff arm them out of the universe. I mean, it's insane watching him play in the fourth quarter. And I mean, the 13-yard touchdown run where we were talking about maybe the Titans should have used more time. They couldn't because Derrick Henry, the Bills couldn't tackle him. He just went straight up for a 13-yard score. That's the one that gave the Titans the lead. If he gets tackled 5 yards down the field, the Bills or the Titans could burn off more clock, but the Bills couldn't tackle him. It was almost hilarious watching the Bills trying to tackle Derrick Henry.
So now I do have questions about, so last year through 6 games, Derrick Henry had 143 carries.
Yeah.
In 2019 through 6 games, Derrick Henry had 113 carries. Oh my Lord. Debo says he's 25-1 to an MVP. He ain't gonna win that MVP. Ooh. That's fine.
Ooh, saucy. They better win the division according to Breach.
He had 142 carries coming into tonight and added another 20 carries. He has had 162 carries 6 weeks into the season. I feel like the only person, maybe on planet Earth, frankly, that you like normally, if a running back was at 160 carries right now, we would be screaming, this guy's going to get hurt. This is going to end poorly. You need to save him for later in the season because you're going to need him to be dominant. And with Derrick Henry, it just feels like it doesn't matter.
Right. We talk about the curse of 300 for years.
370
last 15 years. And he seems impervious to that because after he signed the contract, we're like, all right, well, let's see what happens. Hey, he's the same dude. But as Breach noted, he's also 7'4" and weighs 450 pounds. So maybe he's just built differently.
I mean, by the way, okay, sure.
I was going to say, so if you could line up Quez Watkins, Jalen Reagor, Devin Duvernay, who was a sprint, he ran the 100 in Texas, Henry Ruggs and Derrick Henry to run a 100-yard dash, who are you taking?
Probably the not 7'4", 250-pound guys.
Derrick Henry
is really fast.
So far this season is the fastest person according to Next Gen Stats. 21.8 miles an hour in the 76-yard touchdown run, which is 0.02 of a second faster than Henry Ruggs' 51-yard touchdown, which I can only imagine was against the Steelers.
All right, so let's say hypothetically you can choose between never having to podcast on this show again, or you have to tackle Derrick Henry moving at his maximum speed.
Yeah, that's sort of the question we had last year. I think someone asked that in the mailbag. Saquon was the guy at the time.
Micah Hyde actually had to answer that question during this game, and you could see his eyes light up and thinking, my God, how did I get myself in this position? And he got run over. He got trucked, but he made the tackle. Henry went down, and I probably doesn't remember the play because I'm sure he blacked out afterwards.
I don't know. Like, if you go low, you're going to get concussed because he's going to knee you in the head. If you go high, he's going to stiff arm you to the stands.
Well, you also have the concern of, yeah, smash that like button, people. I'm trying to give away a Brinson Sucks hat. You also have the concern of if you go, like if you make a business decision, you're getting clowned for eternity. But wouldn't you rather not end up like Josh Norman?
Josh Norman
tackle and you could just get absolutely destroyed.
Josh Norman's head is still attached to his body. So there's something to be said for going high. He got
destroyed and embarrassed.
And, well, and that's the other thing. It's more embarrassing when your team loses. Like last year, not only did Josh Norman get stiff-armed out of this dimension, but they lost by like 30 points. And the same thing tonight. The stiff-arms are more memorable when Derrick Henry wins.
Sure. Usually the stiff arms only happen in Derrick Henry wins because he's just built up so much steam. I mean, do you think it's just at some point they have to reel him in a little bit, right?
What they do last year. Let's see.
Well, I mean,
I'm going to say no, they do not.
They didn't reel him in last year. They cranked him up last year because they started him out slow. Well, they hit 31 carries early in the season. But so from week 4 to week 9, by the way, the Titans in those games went 3-3. He averaged under 20 carries a game.
Yep.
And then you have to sort of try to start meandering your way to that. Tonight was huge. You get a win against a really good Bills team, and he only has 20 carries and has a monster game.
The final month of the season, it was about 25 carries a game, though.
And also, I think a big part of that's going to be how Ryan Tannehill is playing. Ryan Tannehill was so bad in the first half, 4-12, that even if the Titans wanted to be throwing the ball, they're like, you know what, scrap that. We're going to go ahead and give it to Derek back here because he's not going to fumble it. He's probably going to get 5 yards per carry, and Tannehill can't complete a pass to save his life. And so I think that's going to dictate a little bit, especially because the Titans receivers have been dealing with injuries. We saw Julio. He wasn't playing at all in the fourth quarter, which raised some eyebrows, and we found that was a hamstring injury. You know, we mentioned the AJ Brown food poisoning. He did not catch a single pass in the first half. Brinson, you mentioned his stats, 7 catches for 91 yards. All of that was in the second half. So like if those guys disappear in spurts, the Titans are thinking, all right, well, I guess we just go to Derek 10 times in a row.
The other thing, so the final 4 games of the season last year, Derrick Henry averaged 27 carries a game and 177 rushing yards a game.
My God.
And the final game, he had 34 carries for, what, 250 and change?
Yeah, and the final year before that, he went 32 carries for 211 yards.
So I think the lesson is he needs to get the ball more.
Well, yes, less. But they're going to have to – he can't carry it 450 times.
Let's see. I want to see what happens if he does. I would imagine he looks
exactly. They paid him, and he loves running the ball. I would guess that the Titans look at this season – and believe that if they can sort of get through, so next week, short week, obviously, they have the Chiefs at home. There, you do not hold back with Derrick Henry against the Chiefs.
No.
You uncork Derrick Henry against the Chiefs. And then the following week on Halloween, they're at the Colts.
You got to win that game.
You don't hold back on, because if you can somehow find a way to run Derrick Henry 30 times per game in those next 2 games, you feel like you've got a good lock on the division and you can maybe ease him up in this November stretch where you got the Texans, the Patriots, and the Jaguars.
And that's why this win was enormous, because the Colts look great. If they lose, they're 3-3 and 2-4. You mentioned the Chiefs next week. I mean, you would imagine the Chiefs going to be favored, I don't know where the game is, by 6.5 points or whatever. And then it's the Titans Colts matchup. So this is a huge win for Tennessee. I thought the Colts had sort of worked their way back into it. And now I actually feel a lot better about the Titans. But again, I said yesterday on the Sunday Night Podcast, the Titans were secretly terrible because they lost to the Jets and played like crap against the Jaguars. And here they come and ball out, in part because Breach notes that Tannehill struggled early, so they leaned on the running back. And then the defense played out of its mind against, you know, one of the best offenses and quarterbacks in the NFL.
Well, so and that's what happened in that Jets loss. That's what happened, is where Derrick Henry would offer 157 yards. And you think if Derrick Henry is rushing for 157 yards, there's no way the Titans are losing. But Tannehill struggled. So, you know, if Tannehill doesn't get his act together, and we saw him get his act together in the second half, that offense is unstoppable if Tannehill's playing his A game and Derrick Henry's doing what he's been doing all season. So, you know, but if it's not that way, if Tannehill's struggling, then they can lose to the Jets. So he's got to play better.
Yeah, I mean, the Jets loss is a really bad one, because you just take care of business against the Jets and you're 5-1. I mean, with a terrible defense. So Tennessee, to me, I am these next four games are really, really interesting. Chiefs at home, at the Colts, at the Rams, Saints at home. If the Titans can go 3-1 there, I feel like they will take the division pretty handily. That seem fair?
Well, I mean, Debo's got Carson Wentz balling out. We'll see.
It's a big ass.
I almost made an inappropriate hand gesture on the screen.
Oh, yeah. You could do it underneath the
table. What do you think they do? You think they go 3-1, or you're just saying if they go 3-1?
If they go 3-1. I think they probably go 2-2 in that stretch, but I do think they'll beat the Colts.
I think they'll go. When I saw the Bills-Chiefs stretch, I thought they would win one of the two, but I didn't know which one. And now that they've beaten the Bills, I do not think they're going to beat the Chiefs. But
I don't either, but Taylor Lewan's big too. Now, Derrick Henry ran well without Lewan out there, but it was noticeable difference. The Chiefs can't stop anybody.
Well, the problem is that
Patrick Mahomes.
No. Christian Fulton got hurt, their cornerback, who didn't even play. And then the first round pick from Caleb Farley. Thank you. I couldn't think of his name. He also went out.
Kyler Murray is where you're going with Caleb Farley?
No, I was going to go Kyle Fuller. I was going to say Kyle Fuller. Caleb Farley. So their two second round, first round cornerbacks last 2 years are out. The guy they brought in had a tough afternoon for a little bit. He almost had an interception and Janoris Jenkins knocked it out of his hands and he made some plays down the stretch, but he struggled early on. So that's going to be a huge issue as well, especially with, Patrick Mahomes coming into town.
Yeah. I mean, find a way to scrap out three wins. Look, I think they'll go 2-2. Maybe, 1-3 would be tough because the
nobody
Colts
had them winning this game. It was 5.5, and we all thought it was going to be a bloodbath.
Correct.
The only person to pick Tennessee to even cover the spread, ironically enough, was Pete Prisco.
He said, an emotional letdown for them after the Bills prep for that Chiefs game. Big time. Trust me. I know. Josh Allen's my guy. Why? I'll tell you. The Colts are relevant here because they're chasing the Titans. They are at San Francisco. Then they play the Titans at home. But then, and this is kind of key for me, I think, is that? That's a Thursday. Oh, my God. Thursday night football game, Colts-Jets?
Yes.
Oh, my God. What are you doing, NFL? But the Colts have the Jets and the Jaguars in back-to-back weeks. So if the Colts, when the Colts and the Colts-Titans game is, it's basically the division hangs in the balance, I feel like.
And there's no second place team from the West, from the South going to the playoffs.
No, I wouldn't think so. But now after those two games, by the way, they have the Bills and the Buccaneers. So the Colts need to go 3-1. Like that's going to be the flip game is the Colts-Titans second game. And if the Titans, that's the whole point of this is you unleash Derrick Henry on the Chiefs and on the Colts and worry about everything else later down the road. For the Bills, they're still in first place.
Huge loss for the Patriots yesterday. Huge.
Huge loss in overtime to the Cowboys. Of course, the Bills are in first place by two games. I thought it was interesting that in his post-game press conference, while I was checked out, that Josh Allen mentioned how they suffered a really tough, close loss to the Cardinals last year. The Hail Murray or whatever, right before their bye. Do you know what their post-bye record was?
Yeah, because I'm looking at it. I was going to say it if you didn't. Preach, do you know what it was?
They won everything.
Yeah. How many?
Six, five?
Eight.
Eight?
Well, they won six regular season games, two playoff games.
Oh, there we go. Thank you, Brinson. I was correct. Thank you, Wilson. You didn't ask for regular season and playoffs.
You did say four numbers. But
is that because the Bengals never go to the playoffs? You don't count that?
Oh, by the way, thoughts and prayers to Dickie V, one of our patron saints of the dogs, that he's got a lymph node cancer. So hopefully he gets better quickly.
Hope he dunks on cancer.
Yeah. And you know what? During that streak of eight consecutive wins that you guys were mentioning, one of the teams they beat was the Baltimore Ravens. And they were probably the biggest winner in the AFC because with this loss, there's only one team that's 5-1 in the AFC, which seems impossible to believe. Like there's not even undefeated teams. There's only one 5-1 team. And then everybody else is just in this total bag of chaos. So, now the Ravens are in the driver's seat for that number one seed, which is obviously way important since there's only one bye.
I was actually thinking about that when it looked like the game was going back and forth on Monday night. So who's your team? You have one team you can pick in the AFC right now to represent the conference. Who are you taking?
Bills.
Breach?
Bills.
Really?
Bills are my preseason
Super Bengals.
I mean, you look at their schedule after this. They come out of the bye.
This is a laugh riot, how easy
Yeah, are you going to...
Go ahead. I looked at it earlier today.
So, obviously, it's going to suck that they're going to go into this bye after this crazy loss, after blowing it on 4th-and-1. But when they come out of that bye, they face Miami. They face Jacksonville. They face the New York Jets. That's their first three games.
Do you remember when we used to say that the AFC East was slanted because the Patriots are always going to win 6 games? Now it's the Bills to get to win those 6 games.
Yeah,
pretty much. And that's 3 gimmies. So now you're 7-2. I mean, it would be shocking.
Two and one would be a disaster in those 3 games.
Right. And they will probably be double-digit favorites in all 3 of those games, right?
Yeah.
Yes. So they're probably 7-2, and then after that, you know, you go, where they have 8 games left. I can't do the math with 17 anymore. You go 6-2 down the stretch. You're 13-4. Boom.
And they have one. What's the week 14 game? That's a tough game. I can't remember who it's against. It's
Buccaneers, I believe.
Is that it? Yep.
At Tampa.
Is that their only tough game?
They're at Saints in week 12 as well. It's so they have out of the bye, Dolphins, Jaguars, Jets, Colts. Really friendly 4 games. Mm-hmm. Then Saints, Pats, Buccaneers. Not so friendly. And then they close with Panthers, Pats, Falcons, Jets.
Okay. So,
but wait, to answer Wilson's question, the Buccaneers and Saints are the only 2 games they have left against teams who are currently over 500.
Correct.
And the Saints might not be after this week.
They won't be favored in Tampa.
No.
Assuming full health for everybody.
Yeah, no.
But they'll be favored in every other game. I believe they'll be favored in New Orleans, too.
Okay. So you guys, I'm going to push back a little bit, because the Ravens have a 1-game lead on them. And this is a Ravens schedule. It's not as easy as the Bills schedule. They played the Bengals in Baltimore.
Loss.
For whom?
I'm just kidding.
Okay, then they have their bye. They play the Vikings at home in Baltimore, at Miami, at Chicago.
Should be 4-0 right there.
The Browns in Baltimore, at Steelers.
4-0, 5-0, 6-0.
At Cleveland. Packers at home, at the Bengals, the Rams, and the Steelers to end it. So this schedule's a little more difficult, but I don't think it's immeasurably difficult. I mean, they still have that 1-game lead. So I think I might take the Ravens. I love the Bills, but I might take the Ravens.
I don't have a problem with that. The division for the Bills is a little bit easier.
Yeah.
I'd rather play the Packers than the Buccaneers.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So, especially Packers at home versus Buccaneers on the road. I mean, we're a long way out from this. Obviously, tons of stuff can happen, but I do think we have a pretty good idea about some of these teams that they're playing.
And by the way, both these teams are going to the playoffs. We're just talking about who's going to be the best.
Well, and what makes this important, by the way, is that if the Bills and the Ravens have really good schedules down the stretch, like conducive schedules for winning football games, that is going to make it almost impossible for the Chiefs to come back and steal the number one seed, I believe.
Oh, yeah, especially since they're currently in last place in their division.
And they lost to both of these teams.
They're not stealing the number one seed.
Right, but I mean, the number one seed is a huge deal because you get the first round bye.
Does hey, Debo, how hard is it to pull the Super Bowl odds? I wonder if the Chiefs are they favorites? I didn't know how people were.
Oh, no, the Bills were the Super Bowl favorites going into tonight. It was the first time that neither the Chiefs or the Bucks had been a favorite since the Super Bowl odds for this year started.
The Buccaneers and the Bills are currently favored 5.5-1 at Caesars.
But I'm sure that was after the Bills lost. So before the loss, they were the top favorite.
Well, the presumption was they'd be 5-1 with a win over Tennessee going to the
bye. I love the Ravens at 10-1.
No.
I'd like a little more bang for my buck than 10-1.
But my point is this. If they play one fewer game by winning to get the number one seed, that's huge. The Chiefs aren't going to roll through the playoffs having beat a bunch of teams with that defense and traveling on the road is my point.
Hey, Debo, scroll down a little bit. Again, you can watch this on youtube.com/pick6 and hit that show all. Man, I'll tell you what. This is sort of this idea has been percolating in my head all day. After the percolating in my head. After the Cowboys at 13-1.
Juicy indeed.
The Chargers at 20-1 would be interesting.
I don't want to sound crazy, but there's a team that is currently 4-2 that's 100-1.
I thought Brinson was going to make a joke about that team, but you.
No, I was just saying, go back up top, and I just want to like. I think that there's kind of a cliff here, where
that team is the
battle. After the Cowboys, and the odds suggest that there's a cliff because it goes from 13-20. Would you want? I mean, the Chargers are the only team in this range. I mean, look how fast this drops off. Saints are 40, Niners are 50. Vikings 60, Raiders 60, Steelers 80. I don't trust any of those teams to win a Super Bowl.
Why are the 49ers and the Steelers even up there?
My point is that if we're looking to bet on the Super Bowl, on a Super Bowl future at some point in the near future, that the odds are kind of condensing around these top-tier teams. And I sort of wonder if maybe there isn't a group of teams in each conference that are kind of pulling away from the crowd.
Well, the other part of this is that there's, if you look at the teams that are 25-1 and less, there's only 11 of them. So that means three teams in that way lower tier are going to make the playoffs.
Yes.
So that's the key, is kind of figure out what those three teams, because, you know, if you find one of those 100-1 teams, it doesn't have to be the Bengals, but based on how these odds are set up, they're at least going to get in the playoffs. And once that happens, you know, your bet is, you feel a lot better about it.
Yeah, and there are some sites that you can, for instance, like sportsbook.ag, hypothetically, you can place a bet and then cash out later if the odds get better. So you can actually, and I think there are various sites to do that. The point being is, you know, it's not they have to win the Super Bowl for me to make money. You can make the bet and then cash out if you are correct about how the market will react to this team winning games. So like, if you think the Bengals will win a few more games in the next couple of weeks, you bet them 100-1, they get out of 25-1, and suddenly you just cash out and call it a day. Breach wouldn't. He'd ride it until they lose in the first round of the playoffs. But
he'd double down.
And it would be a great ride, Brinson.
Sure it would.
It would be a great ride.
Yeah, and believe me, as a multi-time holder of NC State National Championship tickets, I understand what you're going through. Okay, any other thoughts on this game? Awesome game. Another primetime thriller.
I got a fun fact I forgot to bring up.
What?
Stefon Diggs scored a touchdown in this game.
That is fun.
And you know who else scored a touchdown this weekend? Trayvon Diggs, meaning the first time since 2009 that two brothers have one scored an offensive touchdown, one scored a defensive touchdown in the same week of an NFL season.
I have another fun fact. Stefon Diggs' touchdown on Monday night actually tied his brother Trayvon Diggs for having two touchdowns this season. Ooh. Trayvon has two pick sixes.
Do you know who the brothers were that did it in 2009?
Tiki Barber and Rondi Barber.
That is incorrect, but a good guess.
Whoa, that's a great guess. How is that not right? Hold on.
Yeah,
not 2009? Right.
2009.
They play in the same conference?
How is it not Tiki and Rondi?
Not Tiki and Rondi. Love
Tiki. Friend of the... Is he friend? He's a
friend of CBS.
Tiki's my boy. I love Tiki.
Give us a hint. Give us a hint on a team. One team.
If you know
the chat, write it in the chat and we'll post it if you're right before we say it.
I'll give you the team of the guy who scored the defensive TD, and it was the Miami Dolphins.
2009 Miami Dolphins.
If I gave you the offensive TD, the offensive guy, I think you would get it.
So 2009 Miami Dolphins, that was the year after they won the division. With Ronnie Brown was like their quarterback at that point. He's just running the Wildcat.
So this is post Saban.
Yeah. That was a.
It was.
Do you want another hint that you'll get it?
I don't know who it is.
Yeah, sure.
The guy who scored the defensive TD actually played for the Buffalo Bills eventually and retired at halftime.
This halftime?
No, at halftime when he retired in 2018.
Oh.
Davante Davis?
Yeah.
Devontae
and Vernon.
I was like, are they brothers? Oh, God.
Yeah, they're 100% brothers. Yeah. I thought you meant they were brothers. Tonight.
I wouldn't have gotten that then. I don't think I realized they were brothers somehow.
Oh, yeah, they're brothers.
They've never seen together.
That fun fact was from NFL Research.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. They're not seen together because they played in different cities, I guess.
I always feel like you see Tiki and Ronda together.
Well, they look alike, so you're like, oh.
Maybe that's it.
They're twins. We get it.
That's why I panicked when I was like, oh, that's involved.
Love it.
Is it Vernon? Another guy named Davis? They don't look alike.
What was he went to Illinois. What was his name again? The defensive player? What was his first name?
Fonte.
Fonte.
If you do, if you retire at halftime, it's very obvious.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Man, love Vernon Davis.
Yeah, I can't believe Rondé and Tiki weren't in the mix. All right, well, fun. Who's,
anyway. By the way, hat giveaway. Brinson Sucks hat. We have a winner. Are you going to announce it, Bebo?
No, you got this. This is all
you. No, you go ahead.
You're the namesake of the hat. It's not a Debo Sucks hat. I mean, that wouldn't be made. But
please tell me the winner is Vonte Davis.
Also, Darren Smith out in San Diego radio wants one to walk around San Diego in.
We're going to have to mass produce these things.
Well, let's put it in the store. What was the impetus for the hat? Was it like my wife said Brinson Sucks?
I can't remember. I have to look at Lewis's DMs.
That's pretty much the essence of it.
Said that on the podcast with Brady, and Brady's like, you might want to rethink how you said that. And I was like, what are you talking about? My wife thinks I'm Miz. She says Brinson Sucks. I don't know what to tell you, bro. Anyway. The winner. You have a drum roll sound drop queued up or anything?
No.
The winner of the Brinson Sucks hat, Tommy Slayton. Congratulations. You've won our second Brinson Sucks hat. This is so ridiculous. I thought it was like a prime.
Congratulations, Tommy.
All right, Tommy. Congrats. Debo will hit up Debo on the DMs or however you do it. Or you leave your Twitter handle. Make sure it's in there. And Debo will make sure you get that hat to you. We may have to hit up Lewis and see if he can produce a few more Princes. I mean, I'm all for millions of or thousands, hundreds, tens of Brinson Sucks hats running around this great nation.
Right? Yeah, I want to clarify a few things. Everybody was eligible for this. I don't discriminate if you didn't have a Twitter or an Instagram. I'm going to get your name. I put it in a random name generator, and I will promise Tommy that my hat arrives before Brinson sends his hat to our last night winner, Lucas.
Now, in full disclosure, I have not received any information about how to send this to Lucas.
No, you have not. 24 hours.
You can't. It's like sprint out, send it to Tommy. Be like, Brinson hadn't sent his either because I haven't gotten the information.
I have not gotten Tommy's information yet. We'll set it at the same time.
But if that's the case, yes, yours will certainly arrive before mine. Almost certainly. All right. That's the show. We are going to do a little bit of, unbeknownst to Wilson and Breach, a little bit of overtime. So if you're watching on YouTube, we will end the podcast, but we will answer questions that you have about the NFL, life, hats, whatever you want on.
Since we didn't get overtime in the game.
That's right. We did. We should have got
overtime. We're not going for it on 4th-and-1. We're kicking the field goal here.
How dare you? Sean McDermott robbing us at overtime. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. See you after the show.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.